How many people like chocolate? Raise your hand. Okay, do you know that the tallest chocolate Easter egg ever made was in Italy in 2011? Okay, it was 38 feet high, weighed 158 pounds. How would you like to have that Easter egg? So, that's one of the things from the basket. Here's another one. Did you know that there are 90 million chocolate bunnies that are sold during Easter? 90 million. There are 91.4 billion eggs that are sold. And the best of all, there are 700 million marshmallow peeps that are produced every year in the United States, and they are all sold, and you eat them at Easter time. Here's another one that I found. Now, wouldn't you like to have this guy's job? Whoever did this figured out that 76% of people eat the ears off the chocolate bunny first. He must get paid a lot, or I don't know about that one, but that's a true fact. Here's another one I want to share with you. Americans consume over 16 million jelly beans just on Easter Day. 16 million jelly beans. And so those are facts, fun facts that I just wanted to share with you. But I pulled out my last paper because the last paper really is kind of the most important, and that is this. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ 3 days after his death. Amen? That's why we have Easter. And you know, when we celebrate Easter, really Easter is the most important day in the life of the Christian church, because it talks about the resurrection of the Lord. And the resurrection of the Lord is very, very important to the Christian walk. Do you realize that there has been 1,987 Easters since the first Easter? 1,987, some people could say 1,984, but still, there's been 1,987 Easters. I've had 58 Easters. And so one of the things I think about is this. Sometimes, if we're not careful, after 1,987 of anything, we could look at this day, even as Christians, as just another day. When you had 58 Easters, and however old you are, you've had just that many Easters too. If we're not careful, Easter could just become another day. It's a day that we get together with our family, and that's great. It's a day that we come to church to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. It's a day where we may hide things in our yard and we go and hunt for them. It's a day when we dress up and take pictures, and that's nice and that's good, but Easter is so much more than that. And so I believe that as a Christian, and I think what really brought this to me was in my personal walk with God this year, and the reason this sermon was kind of birthed, was the Maundy Thursday service. For some reason to me, the Maundy Thursday service just opened my eyes to where maybe after all these years and working in the church and doing what I do and just serving God, if it's just me, I know this has happened to other people, sometimes you might just lose your passion for what Easter really means. And see, Easter means so much more because it's the resurrection of God. For example, Easter and the resurrection, it shows the power of God Himself. Understand this. He raised someone from the dead. It shows that God, in His sovereignty, in His complete control, He can raise somebody from the dead. That shows the power of God. The resurrection of Christ, that Easter, shows the very, very power of God. Christianity is different apart from any other religion in the world, you know, Christianity is not really a religion, it's Christianity, in that there is a resurrection. And God's power is the one that pulled the resurrection. It shows that God is in control over life and death. God is in control of all things in this universe. Where someone was dead, 3 days later, he's alive. That's the resurrection. Have you thought about that passion in your heart to understand that God's power to raise Jesus from the dead, how important that is to us? It also gives credibility to who Jesus was. You know, when you read the Word of God, if you turn over in John 2, 18 through 22, you can write that down or you can turn over with me in just a minute. But when you turn over to John 2, 18 through 22, many people in this world have always said that they question the resurrection and they debate whether Jesus was a liar or whether Jesus was a lunatic or whether Jesus was really Lord. Well, what it does is when you read John 2, 18 through 22, it says this: the Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" They were talking to Jesus. Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. So he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to them and saying, "No, it's my body." After he was raised from the dead, the disciples recalled what he said. Then they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. So what it does is not only show the power of God, but it shows the credibility of Jesus himself, where Jesus stood before them and said, "In 3 days, you may destroy me, but I'm going to rise again." That gives credibility to who Jesus is. It also conquers death and sin. If you read other in John some more, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Then it says, "Do you believe this?" See, what it does is it gives credibility and it gives that Jesus and God has power over death and sin, which means this for us. Because we are dead in sin, because we have the sin nature, the fallen nature from Adam, that because Jesus Christ conquered death, we now can be saved. That to me is very, very important. Without the resurrection, that couldn't be. Because Jesus conquered that. See, these are just three of the miraculous kind of statements that you can make about Easter, but there's so much more that you can make. But we have to understand this. Really, what it comes down to is the resurrection is the most important thing that could have happened in our life because it shows God's power. But it also does something else. See, when Jesus rose from the grave, he spent 40 days here on earth. You all know that story, right? He just spent 40 days here on earth. He was there. He rose from the grave. He saw Mary Magdalene. He went and saw Mary Magdalene again, and he saw Mary. And then he sees Peter. He's on the road to Emmaus. He goes to the road to Emmaus, and then he sees the disciples in an upper room. This is just kind of all the days afterwards. He talks to the 11 apostles. That's when Thomas is there. We call him Doubting Thomas, but now Thomas isn't doubting anymore. So Jesus, after the resurrection, is walking around. He's being seen by all these people. They go to Galilee. Jesus appears to the seven on the shore of Galilee. And I'll tell you what, if you ever go there, and I hope you can go on the trip to the Holy Land, we go to that spot. Jesus kind of reminds them that they're supposed to be fishers of men. 1 Corinthians talks about the 500 disciples saw him in Galilee. James, his brother, Jesus sees James, his brother. So Jesus is going around after his resurrection, and it's showing everybody, I am alive. This isn't a lie. This is real. For 40 days, Jesus goes, and people are seeing Jesus, and Jesus is talking to his disciples for 40 days. And then what happens after 40 days? The ascension. Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives near Bethany, and then he ascends into heaven. Now, when he does that, he says to them, Wait. Something's going to happen. You're going to receive power. 40 days Jesus was on this earth after his resurrection. The most important thing that could ever happen to us. Can you feel how that is? Jesus was resurrected, 40 days, ascends into heaven, tells his disciples to wait. You're going to receive power. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And then 10 days later, 50 days after the resurrection, the world sees the biggest revival and the most important revival that this world will ever see. 50 days later. You know, revivals are important. And there have been great revivals throughout the land. But 50 days after the resurrection, I believe in my heart, was the most important revival that you could have ever seen. And that is because that was the first revival. See, if you want to define revival, revival is defined by God pouring himself out to his people. And if you read in Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, there were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's in Acts. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Can you imagine? Do you see how exciting that must be? That should be just as exciting for us. Do you see that these disciples, they'd seen Jesus raised from the grave. He was alive. They saw him ascend into heaven. Can you imagine how they must have felt? And Jesus says, wait, 10 more days. Wait. And at that time, the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And because the Holy Spirit came down upon them, revival hit the land. You know, there have been some great revivals, like I said. You know, in 1904, if you study church history in different areas like this, in 1904, they call this one of the biggest revivals. It started as the Welsh Revival in 1904, and it spread to Korean. It spread all the way through Africa. It spread through India. It spread all the way over here to America. You know, there was a time in 1904 that the mayor of Atlantic City, you know where Atlantic City is? You know what Atlantic City does? I mean, it's casinos, right? You know, the mayor of Atlantic City in 1904 said, as we know, there's only 5 people in our town that aren't saved yet. That's how this revival hit all around the world. Drunkards and prostitutes were lining up in Los Angeles and California, and they were getting saved by the hundreds and the thousands. The Southern Baptist Convention alone had like a 25% increase in baptisms that year alone. 1904, That was a pretty big revival. So you study revivals, that's one that you have. If you study way back in the 1700s, they call it the First Great Awakening. That was a revival that hit the whole world, really over in England, and people were getting saved. And see, what is a revival? A revival is God pouring himself out to the people. And so they called it the First Great Awakening. This is about 1700, 1727 to about 1750. And so what happened is people just started getting saved. There's been about four great awakenings in the history of the world of people getting saved. These are great revivals. But nothing ever will match the revival that happened at Pentecost 50 days after Jesus was resurrected. Because it was at that revival that the Holy Spirit now comes upon us when we are saved. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, we now have the Holy Spirit living in us. That, to me, is exciting. That, to me, is why the resurrection is so important. Because if it wasn't for the resurrection, Jesus wouldn't be alive to ascend up to heaven. And when Jesus ascended up to heaven, it made the way for God now to send the Holy Spirit upon all believers. See, because when Jesus was here in human flesh, he could minister one-on-one. But the Holy Spirit, when you ask Jesus in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. You're saved. Your life is changed. You have the power of Jesus Christ in your heart. So 50 days after the resurrection, it is time for salvation. 50 days after the resurrection, 3,000 or so people get saved. 50 days after the resurrection, it's the beginning of the Christian church. 50 days after the resurrection, it is time for renewal. It is time for revival. It is time to remember. And I'm afraid sometimes 1,987 years after that, we may lose our focus of that. We may lose how important that is to our lives. Do you realize that because of the resurrection and the 50 days afterwards, your salvation is secure? Your salvation is set? And so when I was sitting in that Maundy Thursday, I thought to myself, you know, I've just got a little bit of, I think I've just gotten a little bit comfortable with this Easter stuff. And what I mean by that is, it's not that I question the resurrection. I believe all that. It's just that I've had so many Easters that maybe I've lost my passion a little bit for what Easter really means. How important Easter is. And so I ask you tonight, not as a corporate body, but as an individual. When those 50 days past the resurrection brought us the very first revival, I ask you, as I ask myself, do you need a personal revival? Have you had so many Easters in your life? Not that you've forgotten the meaning, but you've just kind of become comfortable and content with how Easter is. Easter is the most important day for a Christian. See, God wants you to know that as in the 50th day of Easter, when he poured out himself on those people, God is pouring himself out on you. God is saying to you, I want to pour myself out to you. Have we lost our passion for Christ? Have we lost our passion for what it all means? I just have to ask that question. And so I ask everyone here tonight, since a revival is an outpouring of God on your life, I want to share with you, and it's written down in your notes, but I want to share with you an inventory that you can take for 50 days. You know, after the resurrection, it was 50 days until the first revival, the outpouring of God on his people through the Holy Spirit. We are now 3 days past Easter. June 4th would be 50 days. And so I'm just asking, let's take an inventory of our lives. You personally, take an inventory of your life. And if God's already pouring out his love on us through the Holy Spirit right now, ask yourself the question in the inventory, do I need a personal revival in my life? God, have I lost my passion for what this is all about? Now, how do you do that? Well, the first thing you need to do is repent of sin. You know, the Bible says, repent there, turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that time of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's Acts 3:19. See, here's what happens when we have sin in our life, and we know we have sin in our life, and we don't repent from that sin. We get stale. But Acts 3:19 says this, when you repent from your sin and you turn to God, you're going to be refreshed. When was the last time you felt refreshed? I bet those people at Pentecost felt refreshed, don't you? I mean, don't you? Can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine what it was like? And so the first step for personal revival is just do an inventory of yourself. And repent of any sin that you have in your life. And what God will start to do is this. God will start to refresh you. You'll start getting your passion back. You remember those days, your passion for Christ, your passion for God? Easter will take a whole new meaning to you. Christmas will take a whole new meaning to you. Because the passion that we have is through the passion of the Holy Spirit gives us. Because when we repent of our sins, we are now cleansed before God. And the last time I checked, Christians sin also. Did you know that? And so every once in a while, like every day, we need to take an inventory of our lives, and we need to go before God, and we need to say, God, forgive me for this part of my life. And you'll just feel lighter. Your soul will be lighter. That's the first step toward personal revival. The second step is you renew your love to God. See, when you look in the Bible in Revelation, you hear about a church in Ephesus. And God says to them, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and had patience and had labored in my namesake, for you have not become weary. That's good, isn't it? So we can do a lot of good stuff for Christ. But then it says this. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Do you realize that we can serve God and it becomes such a routine that we lose the fact that we're doing this because we love God? Have you lost your love for God? I hope everybody in here has been in love sometime in your life. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I hope you've all been in love sometime. But you know, your relationship with God is God's love to you and your love for God. And it's supposed to be such a deep, intimate love. And one of the problems that they had in Ephesus was this. They had done all these things for God, but they had just lost their love for God. Are we so busy that we forget our love for God? Have you just turned to God and said, God, I love you? I hope you never lose your love for God. But we know in this church it happened. So if it can happen in this church, I believe it can happen in anybody's heart if they're not careful. And see, what happens when you lose your love for somebody is you lose your passion. Does that make sense? When you lose your love for somebody, you lose your passion. You know, passion, that's the excitement of what God's done for you. And God's done something for everybody in this room, amen? God's blessed you. First of all, if you're saved, God's done the best by saving your soul. Are we passionate about that? When people see us in this community, do they see the passion of God out of our lives? Or have we just become normal? Do they see the passion? Do they see your face shine for God? If not, I think we need to turn back to our first love. That's the second step for personal revival. The third one is this: recommit yourselves to God's purposes. If you have passion for something, it's going to show, right? If you have passion for sports, it's going to show. If you have passion for anything, it will show. If you have passion for God and what God has done for you, it's going to show. People will see the difference. You will walk out of here. You will share the gospel wherever you with whoever you can, because one of the purposes of God is for this whole world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the passion I'm talking about. When you find your love again, do you see how that naturally comes? If you're the ones that were ever in love, that question before, remember when you first fell in love, you told everybody about that person, showed them your picture. You were just so in love. Do you tell everyone about Jesus with that same passion? That's what it's talking about. Because his purpose is for this world to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next one is this: invest extended time in prayer, communion, and God, and meditation. I just ask you that if you read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, your life will be changed. Your personality will start changing. Your passion will change. Your life will change. And so to have personal revival, we have to spend time learning about the words of the one that we love. And that's God. And the last one is, experience the blessings of Christian service. Now, I got this list right here from a book called 10 Greatest Revivals in America. But what it's talking about right here is this. When you serve God, do you do it out of a sense of obligation, or do you do it out of a sense that you're doing this because you love the Lord God with all your heart? And I'm afraid sometimes what happens to us, and what I'm sharing with you is nothing that I haven't dealt with myself, but what I think happens to us is this. Sometimes it just becomes an obligation. Try being in the ministry sometimes. It can really become an obligation if you don't really keep yourself at a personal revival, renewal time with God. But it could happen to anybody, couldn't it? And so what I'm saying is this. When you serve God, does it come from a deep, deep love of God that comes from your passion of God because you love God and because you want to do what God's purposes are and because you've repented of your sins? So there you have it. See, the resurrection is important. The most important day of our lives. But it also set the stage for your personal revival. 50 days. That was the setup. 50 days. To where now, in 2017, we can have personal revival. Wow. And so I just think it's important as a church, as an individual, that sometimes we just need to look at our lives . Do we have passion for God? Do I have passion for God? Or have I just become comfortable? Do I need revival in my own heart? I think that's a fair question that every Christian needs to ask. Let's bow our heads. So as we've seen the 50 days of Christ, that was the question tonight that I want you to ask yourself. And tonight can be the start of your 50 days to where you are renewed and starting on the track to renew yourselves toward God. I think we all need it. Sometime in our Christian walk with God. But what you will see is a new outlook on life. You will see a new passion toward Easter. A new love toward God. And you will feel refreshed. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart. I want to let you know that that is the best journey that you will ever start. And you can start that tonight. So during the invitation, if you feel like God is moving you to come pray at the altar, you can do that. If you feel like God is moving you to come and pray with one of the ministers, you can do that. Or if God is moving you to just pray where you are, ask yourself that question. Just say, God, show me if I need a personal revival. God, have I lost my passion? Has Easter just become another day? Maybe you're here tonight and you're looking for a church home. We would love to have you be a part of this church so we can serve the Lord and grow together as Christians. So, Father, I pray for each one here as we get ready for the invitation, God. And God, as you poured yourself out that 50 days after the resurrection, Father, I pray that you speak to everyone here in their hearts. Father, that you move them to what they need to do in their walk with you. Father, if there's someone here that needs to get saved, Father, I pray that they will come forward and talk to one of us, God, and they'll get saved tonight. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for Easter.